dinner room tomorrow.
Which one's
more? Don't worry about it. We'll do it tomorrow.
Sure.
Too much trouble. Take you half an hour to go and get it. Om Gyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Miditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mayhyam Dadhati Shapratantikam. Well, welcome to all of you. Thank you very much for coming. I think half of you are the people who aren't on my list and half the people on the list aren't here. Who is everybody, first of all? Ladies first. You're Vyajanti. Where are you from? Italy. Okay. Thank you. We know who's behind here. Hare Krishna. And? From Russia. Okay. Good. Get to know where everybody's from. And? From the United States. Where?
I was born in Tennessee and lived mostly in North Carolina and in Florida mostly.
Okay.
And Mayapur.
And Mayapur, that's the best place to be from. And you're the official recorder. Who's here? Hmm. From? Now you're in Mayapuri. Okay. And?
I'm pretty sure that's from Goa.
Ah, okay. And Brihat's not here.
I myself, I have no longer. I'm from Cape Town, South Africa.
Mm-hmm. And who's here?
Rajesh from the UK.
Leaving only the illustrious Sankirtan from, China.
India, China.
Okay. By way of format, we have 2 hours. This is our time every meeting, if that's okay with everyone. I swapped out the schedule, and we'll call halftime after an hour. Who's in charge? Going to do that? Okay, just after an hour, give or take a few minutes.
Is 12 okay, since it's auspicious time?
Yeah, 12, a little before, a little after, seeing how we're going. Otherwise, I may lose track. And then we'll take, a few minutes break then, so. You get a break. Okay. Anything else I should know or any questions right off? And I don't have to do anything to do with the test people. I don't mark them. I don't make them. I don't do anything. I don't know anything about them. All I do is sit here and stand here and talk and answer questions now and then. If you have questions, if you have things that puzzle you or you want to know about or what have you, feel free to bring them up at almost any point. And am I talking loud enough? Can you all hear? Okay. Can't hear. Can you?
Yeah, no.
Okay. And it's nicer out here than inside, right? You get your money's worth from Mayapur. You get the view. All right, so we're looking at Dhruva Charitra, the activities and character of Dhruva Maharaj, by way of introduction, Maitreya gives a bit of a history of some of the other sons of Lord Brahma, mostly a disreputable crowd, such people as envy, anger, harsh speech, and so on. And by hearing about them, we get to know something about the causes of destruction, which we're not very eager to be associated with. And then we come to the real substance, which is the sons of Svayambhuva Manu. We're sort of going, as you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you go through these histories, dynasty after dynasty, till finally you come to Krishna. So here we're at Svayambhuva Manu, and of course these are selected histories. It's not just in 1812 this happened, in 1814 that happened, in 1816 there was this battle, in 1820 this person became president. Yuck. We don't have any of that. It's all stuff selected because it's instructive and important. So we're coming to the history of Dhruva Maharaj. He had his brother. Brother's name is given. Uttam. So the Dhruva Maharaj, his father, Svayambhuva Manu, Uttanapada. So Dhruva Maharaj's father had two wives, Suniti and Suruchi. And from their very names, Ruchi is nice taste, so, and Niti is morality, ethics. So it seems one wife was very nice and the other was very moral, religious, or ethical, Suniti. So Dhruva Maharaj was the son of Suniti. And history is straightforward. Someone want to run down the quick history of the what set this all off, the crisis here? You've all read this, right? So you're all competent to tell us all about it. What happened? Suresh Prabhu? You don't mind being put on the spot? Yeah. Actually the king didn't allow him because it's understood that the king was under the influence of his favorite wife. And then the wife sounded off. What was the story? Huh? What'd she say? No? Yeah, you weren't born from... Who do you think you are? You're not my son. How do you think you're going to get up on this throne? Huh? You can't sit on the lap of your father or imply descend to the throne because... sorry, kid, you took the wrong birth. If you'd gotten me as your mother, it would be a different story. But you took birth from the other lady, queen number two, so it's your tough luck. Not very nice. But that was how she addressed him. So what was the result? Broke into tears and ran to his mother. And what did his mother say?
Anyone can help you except the Supreme Lord. The Lord is found in the forest. The sages are meditating on him.
First thing she said is, well, she's right. You know, I'm queen number two. She's the favorite queen. So pretty much she told you the story as it is. Your father loves the other queen more. So then she gave some instructions to him. There's a valuable instruction here that don't wish anything inauspicious for others. That won't be good. If you inflict pain on others, you yourself will suffer for that. So don't think that way, that I'll get back at him. It's a fact. And then, as Sankirtan Prabhu said, she gave this instruction that actually was already told by the co-wife, by Suruchi, that if you want to become the king, you want to sit on the lap of your father, then you just pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that you can take birth as my son, take birth again, then you can do it. Real nasty. Real nasty. So that was what she said, and Suruchi said, well, actually it's true. What can I do for you? I'm just a woman, and I'm not the woman, I'm the other woman. So what can I do? I can't help you. But if Krishna helps you, then it's possible. I can't do anything, but Krishna can do anything. So in that way, actually, his stepmother's advice was confirmed. Actually, it's very good. It's a blessing for you. It was meant as an insult, but it was taken as a blessing, that actually what you said is very good. You just have to find Krishna, and Krishna can help you. And there's a point here. Yeah. That even your grandfather, yes, your grandfather, Lord Brahma, got his position that way. He underwent tapasya, and by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, now he's Lord Brahma. So, two things are needed. On your side, some austerity, and from Krishna's side, some mercy. You have to be austere, you have to depend on Krishna's mercy. Then you could become Lord Brahma even. Anything becomes possible. Then she says, so you should take shelter of him. He's very kind to his devotees. And those who want liberation from birth and death worship the lotus feet of the Lord. And she specifically says that you should engage in your prescribed duties while engaging in Krishna service. That's the formula. That's the formula. In Bhagavad Gita, where do we find that? Lots of places. Give me one. Eka. Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't really say prescribed duties there, it just says sacrifice. What's the number?
247.
Okay, what's it say?
It says that you have a right to perform your prescribed duties, but you're not entitled to this.
Karmanye vadikadaste. Yeah, but where does that say anything about depending on Krishna?
Maybe next verse.
I've got at least two verses, yeah? Excuse me? Yeah, there's one of my verses. Yeah, Mamanusmara Yudhyacha. Fight and think of me. Your prescribed duty is fighting, and your other prescribed duty is to be Krishna conscious. Mamanusmara Yudhyacha. Yeah, thank you. Otherwise, another verse?
Uh,
Yeah, yatat pravittir bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam svakarmana tamabhyarcha siddham vindakini. Yeah, by performing your prescribed duties. So this is the formula. Prabhupada said that this should be the motto of every honest person. Every honest person seeking perfection in Krishna consciousness. Then Prabhupada has he nicely expresses how the Lord is kind to his devotees and how he'll bless Dhruva Maharaj. So, as far as I know, this is it. You have to depend on Krishna, and he can take care of you. He can do everything that you need done. Then, what did you do? She gave him nice instructions, and Maitreya comments that the instruction was meant to help Dhruva actually achieve what he wanted. So what does he do? Takes off. Leaves home. Goes looking for Krishna. Left his father's home and with fixed purpose, akarnya arta agamam vachaha saniyamya atmana atmanam nishchakrama pita purat. First thing was hearing. It's all hearing. Our whole process is hearing. Hearing is so, some examples, hearing. Parikshit Maharaj, hearing. Who else heard from a woman and became perfect? Bilva Mangal Thakur. His girlfriend said, oh, if you only had so much love for Krishna, how your life would be nice. That was it. Just touched off a spark and he took off. By hearing. By hearing. The hearing has so much power. It's hearing. So he heard from his mother, and what was the result? Became determined. Okay, I'm going to do this. Fixed mind. Saniyamya atmana atmanam. He controlled his mind. What was his first situation? Yeah, he was crying and lamenting, crying, anger. My stepmother insulted me. Must have been angry because she said, you don't want to wish anything bad on him. Don't. So that implies that he was or would have. Do we get like that? So he was all really a mess. His feelings had been wounded. His emotions were, and especially his treachery of pride, were touched. So he was all a big mess of emotions. And then he heard. He got some practical instruction, some philosophy, that, and especially some practical advice, So, okay, he got the advice, so now let's get serious. Controls his mind by his intelligence. Atmanatmanam controls his mind by his intelligence. And with that sort of determination and consideration, he thought about it, and he said, okay, I'm out of here. Palace is not very good anyway. I'm the son of a disfavored wife. Then what will I do here? Living my father's house, how am I going to find the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the palace? Well, let me get out of here. That's also practical. But so often one is stuck in a rut. Who else was stuck in a rut and got out? Now you're all stuck in a rut.
I forgot the name, but elephant and the crocodile?
Well, he was stuck in a rut. Elephants have that rut, so different kind of rut. Yes, but he wasn't an example of getting out of his position, out of his comfortable home. Who else was there? Dhritarashtra. So there was Dhritarashtra, attached old man, and Vidura himself. Before he could get Dhritarashtra out, he had to be out himself. The first thing was, and how did that happen? How did Vidura wind up getting out?
By the insult of Duryodhana.
Yeah, he was insulted also. Duryodhana, who asked him to come here? The Dasiputra. Who asked him to? He's just our enemy. He's always scheming against us. Who asked him to? He should be beaten and thrown out. Duryodhana? Duryodhana is the one who insulted him. Duryodhana never thought, let me get out of my royal position. He was thinking how to keep his royal position. But Vidura, yes. And he took it as a blessing. That, what do I want to stay in this lousy palace for, full of politics and adharma, full of schemes and sinful plans and material ambition and attachment. This is great. Now I can get out. Thank you very much. He took it as an opportunity. That's a devotee. When there's some reverse, it's good. Prabhupada gave the example, someone know the example of the stock market? You want some stock market advice, right? Anyone know the example? Yeah, Prabhupada said that for a devotee, whatever the situation, it's good. If things are bad, that's good, and if things are good, that's good. The stock market, you know, when the stock market crashes, like it did just now, then you buy cheap. And when it goes up, you sell at a profit. So you don't mind whether it's going up or it's going down. Either way, it's fine. I have a friend, a devotee friend, and he did exactly that. Just 6 months before the stock market crashed, he sold all of his stock, and now he's buying cheap.
This can go down, or can go down.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be a little smart also. But he's seeing, and in fact, he's waiting a little bit. But he's buying some, and he's waiting for some others. But that's the idea. You know, while everybody's lamenting, oh my God, the stock market has crashed. But for the intelligent person, if it crashed, that's good. We got out 6 months ago, and now we have some capital for buying all this undervalued stock. which will surely go up again. And on the other hand, when it goes up, that's also good, because we'll sell and make a good profit. So whether it's up or down, it's not the problem. It's just knowing what to do in all circumstances. So the devotee in all circumstances depends on Krishna. And when things are up, that's nice. And when things are down, that's nice. So Vidura was insulted by his nephew, Duryodhana, and he took it as a good fortune. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, someone know that example? How he was cursed? I wasn't thinking of that time. What happened?
Actually, he took it like, yes, actually, I am eating too much. You know, I shouldn't eat so much of the sannyasi. Whereas, of course, he was a good person of God, that he shouldn't.
Yeah, Ramchandra Puri was criticizing him. But you're a sannyasi and you're eating so much. Another example, when he was cursed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Someone knows? It's just a one-verse story. Remember? Yeah, you'll never have any material happiness. The Brahmin was offended about something, so he broke his thread. And you'll never have any material happiness. Very well. So for a devotee, every circumstance is fortunate. Things go up or things go down. For him, it's good, whichever way. His only business is always to depend on Krishna and think of Krishna. Okay, the sun comes that way. No, I'll just be here. This is fine. Yeah, this is fine, actually. And maybe, well, if we arranged it that way, you'd all have the sun blinding you, so you're okay the way you are. And I'll just take this corner and move everything. I don't need to move the whole table, it's okay. I only need a corner of it. Okay. So he was insulted by his stepmother, and he made the most of it. He took it as a good opportunity, or it became a good opportunity by the instruction of his mother. By the good instruction of his mother. This is also significant, that if a child is fortunate and gets a good devotee mother, then by the instructions of his mother, he gets the right idea for progress in spiritual life. So it was a good fortune for Dhruva Maharaj. He could have had some old witch who'd say, yeah, that lousy co-wife of mine, you should, you know, why don't we poison her? Could have had that. But instead, Suniti was a devotee of the Lord, so she gave him the right instruction. And well, what can you do? Just depend on Krishna. And the boy fixed his intelligence. Yes, this is the right idea. And he became determined. Let me get the benediction of Krishna, who his mother said is the husband of the goddess of fortune. That means whatever you're looking for in terms of wealth, in terms of prosperity, in terms of fortune, it's all with him. It's all with him. Prabhupada makes the point, don't waste your time with any demigod. It's all there in Krishna. Any questions so far? Yes. How I was you're trying to give good instruction and the kid doesn't take it. So are you lacking? Is he lacking? Do you get any credit? Well, you're doing your duty. You're giving the instruction. You can't force the child to take it. That's up to him. Who is that? Had a son, tried to give him good instruction, wouldn't take it? Yeah, that also. Yeah, Prabhupada had his children. He certainly must have given them good instructions, and they didn't seem to pick it up. I was thinking of someone else. There are probably many examples. I have one in mind. You may have a different one. I couldn't hear. Vena. Yeah, Maharaj Anga was the father of Vena. He tried to give his son good instruction, and it was impossible. The kid had a demonic mentality. So the instructions went nowhere. What are you going to tell him? Don't strangle your little friends. It's not very good. Finally, the king just became disappointed and said, Forest is better. Another person who took advantage of a miserable circumstance. The forest is better than this place. With a son like this and a wife who was the daughter of death personified, I'm better off in the forest. So one night while the queen was sleeping and the citizens were all asleep, he just left. It's mentioned that the citizens were all, they woke up, where's the king? They were looking everywhere for him the way a yogi looks for the super soul. They were all looking for the king. And they didn't find him, he'd gone off. That's another advantage of going off, that your wife or your citizens or your teachers or your friends, they'll all preach to you. They're there, you just stay here in this conventional material life. Everything will be okay. You don't have to worry. Just don't do anything extreme. Keep the status quo. So if you want to change the status quo, if you want to make serious spiritual advancement, then here's the opportunity. Just get out. Go to the forest. The kings did that. They would, at the mature time, leave. Or the vanaprastha couples are advised, leave. Husband and wife leave together, go to some holy place. Or the husband, if she doesn't want to do that or can't do that, then you go. To take advantage. That's another turning a disadvantage into an advantage. Old age, very nice. You like the idea of old age, falling apart, crumbling. Nobody really welcomes old age. But old age has the good side. That while I was young, I was enjoying, I was having a good time, senses were strong, I was making money, and my wife looked super good, and I looked super good. Then you get old, and all the parts start falling apart, and you don't look very good, she doesn't look very good, senses don't feel very good, everything's in decline, or else you see that just around the corner everything's going to fall apart, the signs were already there. So then you take it as an advantage, that my notice is there, let me get serious. Okay, I was a little compromising with the material energy and a little enjoying spirit, a little trying to get a little something from the material world. It's hopeless now. I'm on my way out. things are falling apart. I'm not going to be able to stay here. The younger people already resent my presence. So let me go. So it's taken, for the materialists, it's terrible that I can't hold on to my position. I still know I can. I can still get some enjoyment from this material life. I can still have sex in my 80s and 90s. Yes, that I could quote you the scientific study about these things and that was done in North America. People are still trying in their 80s and 90s to get some still happiness, something is still, you know, like trying to get some honey out of the jar that's empty. They're still trying to get something. Hare Krishna. But a devotee takes it as favorable. This is nice. Mm-hmm.
For many of us, the application of this principle, leaving a place, looks a bit different because we are usually in a place for service. And troubles come. And we're also inclined to run away. Go somewhere else.
So what's the story on that one?
I'm saying for many of us, the situation is applied. The story is a bit different because we're usually in a place for service. So we're there not for enjoying but for service. And then also troubles come and we're inclined to want to go away.
So what kind of renunciation is that?
It's a mode of ignorance.
Passion.
Passion.
Too troublesome.
Too troublesome.
Passion and ignorance. Oh, it's too troublesome.
But also, it works also. You go away and then you find a new environment, okay?
Yeah, I mean, it may work for you, but that you left your service and things fell apart is not counted in your favor.
I'm thinking...
You're enjoying, yeah, I left my service and now I'm having a really great time.
I'm thinking like as a sannyasi, for instance, not as...
Well, there's two sides to it. One is that we're someplace to do service and if we just skip out on our service, that's not very good. The other side is that we get stuck in the service. Mm-hmm. We're not required. 10 guys could do the same thing I'm doing. I'm triple redundant or 10 times redundant. But still I'm thinking without me, they won't do it right. I've worked so hard to put it together and these guys will just tear it all apart. And if I weren't here, what would I do? They're maintaining me here because I'm doing this service. If I went someplace else, where would I get prasadam? And who would pay my medical bills or who would pay my this or who would pay my that? Who would support me? Where would I live? What would I do? So we get stuck. I'll do my 3 hours of service, stretch it out to 6 or 7, collect my devotee maintenance or whatever it might be called, and it's a good deal. And I'm really stuck. I'm blocking my own progress and the progress of the mission or the progress of others. So under those circumstances, good. How can we get this old guy out of here? And the colleagues, they'll think, what can we do that will give him a better situation? How can we get him into something where he'll make progress? If it's family life, how can we get him out of the house? If it's some position, how do we get him out of the seat? That tendency is there to cling to position. Prabhupada said, like the old politicians, the old fossils, Prabhupada called them, who don't want to leave their post they never want to leave their post, and finally they're kicked out by death. That's the only way they can be removed, is by death personified. No one else can do it, including themselves. So Dhritarashtra got out before, by the mercy of Vidura. And sometimes we also need a fortunate circumstance. Narad Muni, his mother got bitten by a snake. Well, that's that. He went off. So we're thinking that in my little situation, everything is set up and I can carry on. And we develop a false sense that I'll have a permanent arrangement in this material world where everything will be at least acceptable, secure. But it's not like that, and when Krishna is very merciful, he takes away our money, or he takes away our post, or he creates a palace incident, or you get insulted by your nephew, or something happens, so that Krishna turns over the apple cart. This is one of the wonderful things that Krishna does, is he turns everything upside down. This is one of my favorite things that Prabhupada did also, is that he would upset. Of course, he would work very hard to put something in place and create stability, but sometimes he would just undo all the stitches. He would, you go here, you go, you go to China. You know, you're leading a big party and hundreds of men. No, you go to China. No, I didn't mean it. But it's the blessing of the spiritual master on you and on the country that he'll take something that seems to be very nicely arranged and he'll bust the whole thing open for the benefit of the disciple and the benefit of the world. So Prabhupada used to do it. Krishna does it. One way or another, things may be turned around. And one has to see the hand of Krishna. The non-devotee won't see it. He'll think, oh my God. He'll say, oh my God, but he means something else. He just means, oh my sense gratification. But a devotee will see how there's an advantage. Well, what does Krishna want? Just like that devotee is seeing. It looks like the market is going to crash. Okay. Sell. Okay. Looks like it'll go down a little more. Wait. Okay. Looks like it's bottom. Sell. Sees which way it's going. You see, what is Krishna's indication? What is the opportunity here for increasing my service to Krishna? Devotee looks for that. Some other question? Yes.
Between hearing and getting determination, somehow it doesn't, at least for me, I hear, but the determination is not coming. So, why did it work for me?
We hear, but the determination is not coming. Why? Why, Sankirtan? Why?
Quality of hearing.
Dhruva Maharaj was really hearing, it seems. He was really interested in knowing what to do to get this kingdom or get this privilege. What else? Someone hears and it snaps into place. Someone hears and it doesn't do anything. How come?
Dry grass, wet grass, like that.
Sorry?
Like the dry grass, wet grass example, like that.
Dry grass, wet grass means?
Like the whole example of your previous piety.
Yeah, your previous credit. There are many examples. Someone gets an instruction, and because it was there from his previous, Bilba Mangal was such a case, that in his previous life, or Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, Purva Daihikam, that because of his previous birth, he hears, and it it has the effect. It once takes it to heart. It once takes it to heart. Our previous credit. Or on the other hand, yeah, offenses. I committed offenses in previous lives, or I committed offenses in this life. What is that? Shunya, janya shunya vishakwainu. I must have committed some offenses. So I'm hearing, and I know, but it doesn't stick. What is that Lochan Das Thakur says? I must be being punished because I'm not as attracted to the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it can be offenses in this life, or offenses in the previous life, or, yes, impious activities. Or not yet mature. You know, time will come, therefore we have to go on patiently and wait for that time when I'll be able to keep practicing. You know, the bird can't quite fly yet, then one day it flies. So that may also be there. It's like a child who wants to do something, he's moving his arms, but he can't, like Krishna, he was moving his arms, but he couldn't pick the thing up. Then later he had no problem banging off of a Chanura Mustika or two, or a Kamsa, no problem. The same child who couldn't pick up a board. So sometimes it has to wait for the mature time also. No, different reasons. Yesham Tvantigatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmani Te Dvandva Moha Nirmukta. When one is freed from all sinful reactions. Antakatam Papam. And Jananam Punya Karmanam. All Punya Karmas there. Te Dvandva Moha Nirmukta. He can be freed from duality and illusion. Bhajante Mam Dridhavratam. Be determined. Yes?
The conditions at the present moment, too much sleeping, too much eating, too much sort of attract the mode of ignorance instead of cultivating the mode of goodness. Mm-hmm. And also, it's also a factor.
Yeah, if our practice is not strong, bhogaisharya prasaktanam, taya parhita chetasam, vyavasayatmika buddhi samado nabhi. If we're too attached to sense gratification, we're wondering, you know, why can't I get serious about devotional service on the way between the sugarcane juice wala and the ice cream guy? And why can't I get more, hear my rounds? I'm just thinking about, and those are some of the less dramatic kinds of sense gratification that might occupy one. But if we're too attached to sense gratification and enjoying spirit, samadho navadhiyate, doesn't catch dry grass or wet grass, it becomes wet grass. And about your question, so we have to perform our duty. The child may or may not catch the instruction, or in the future the child may catch the instruction. That also happens. That the child is impossible, doesn't get it, but sometime later, when the time is mature for him, he gets it. When he's in some deep trouble, when things are all gone wrong, or some fortunate circumstance, then he remembers, my mother always used to say such and such thing, and now I realize, da 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 da. So we don't know what the result may be. We have to perform our duty. Karmanye vadikaraste mapaleshu kadashi. That this is my duty, I have to do it. And the result may or may not be there, apparently. But later the result may come. Okay, we can take a break. How many minutes? What do you want? How long does it take to chant Gayatri? That differs from first. You want 10 minutes? Okay, 10 minutes. See you at 12:10. Give or take a minute or two.
Do you like to drink a Dobbs?
Tricky season for drinking Dobbs.
Yeah.
Well, because it's, you know, you get this winter coming in,
yeah,
and you cool. Take cold Dobbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad, right? But I don't think I'll do it. I shall be careful.
Thank you.
into the coconuts, Maharaj?
Hmm?
Are you into coconuts?
Sometimes.
Do you like one?
Not today. Too cooling. Too cooling. This is a tricky season. It's warm, but it's a little chilly. And then you start taking dabs and they cool you down more, you can get in trouble. If you have constitution more like mine than yours. Okay, we start again. Okay, so we have Dhruva Maharaj. He's insulted by his stepmother. His stepmother is the favored wife of Uttanapada. He's run to his stepmother, Suruchi, and Suruchi says, well, what can I do? And better that you take shelter of the personality of Godhead, he can do something. Prabhupada makes a point here in the purport that there's no use just crying and lamenting. Do something practical. The mere lamentation is useless. One should find out the means to mitigate one's lamentation. Just being a crybaby doesn't help. Do something. So Dhruva Maharaj took it seriously that I have to do something to set things right after I've been so insulted by my stepmother. So he left the palace determined to find the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada, in telling this story, said that Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest and he was looking. He was asking the animals, are you Krishna? Are you God? Are you God? Have you seen God? Have you seen God? He's looking everywhere. Where is God? Where is God? Very serious to find the personality of Godhead. Why? Yeah? Anxiety. What was his motive? Yeah, he wanted to find God, but why? Yeah, he wants. I'll show him. I'll get myself a kingdom. He wanted it, and we'll find out. And we do find out that he wants a kingdom better than his great grandfather's. That comes. So he's materially motivated, but he's determined. So now what happens? Here's Dhruva Maharaj, he's left home. He's determined to find God. What happens next? Nard Muni shows up. How come Nard Muni shows up?
Krishna inspires him from
Krishna
within.
Inspires him from within. Krishna directs Nard Muni that this boy is there. You should do something.
The name Nara, Da, means that he's giving instructions to the Naras.
He's in giving instructions to the Nara. Okay.
Nara
Da. Nara Da. Da means one who gives, and Nara means human being. Okay. Prabhupada indicates here one who's looking for a spiritual master. What does he have to do? What does he have to do? Okay. Anyone have any idea? People are looking for a spiritual master. What do they have to do? pray to God. Very Italian answer, yes. Same thing. Yes? Yeah, they have to pray to God, or they have to be serious, they have to look, they have to be determined, and Krishna will help them.
I hear this thing often, outside of this community, I hear it, that you don't find Guru, Guru finds you, like that.
You don't find Guru, Guru finds
you.
Or you're
looking for something along those lines.
We do hear this. You never heard that. Yeah, well, this, you haven't spent enough time outside of ISKCON. Outside of ISKCON especially, we hear this, that the gurus look, you know, so it's part of also this same attitude that, why don't you surrender to Krishna? Yes, when he desires.
But we also see that people being kind of frustrated with material life, they kind of come up from that, put out their neck out of that ocean,
mm-hmm.
and then immediately the sharks arrive and catch them.
That's also there.
Not the representatives of Krishna, but representing something else.
Yeah.
So what's their position?
Unfortunate.
Are they not serious enough, or they're...
Something is there in their background, that they got caught by the shark. Instead of having a nice swim, they got eaten.
Or are there are not enough devotees around to catch them when
that's
they come
out? That's the
other
side. That's also his misfortune, that the sharks are circling and there's no lifeguard.
No lifeguards, yeah. With enough lifeguards, the sharks go away, maybe.
Yeah. Therefore, our business is to make the unfortunate people fortunate. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. In Kali Yuga, Dosha Nidhi Rajan, it's an ocean of misfortune. So Kirtana Deva, the Sankirtan movement, has to be spread to make the unfortunate people fortunate.
In that sense, that there's some truth to it, that the guru is coming to look at the sense.
Yeah, so there's something to that, yeah. But it's not just that, well, the guru finds the disciple, so I'll just kind of tread water, or well, I'll just keep enjoying and wait till the guru comes and lifts me out. The ocean of birth and death is kind of a nice place to swim, so I'll just keep swimming here. It's rather nice. And when he desires, then the guru will find me. Meanwhile, I'll stay a little bit hidden.
But these are good candidates for buying books, those who saw you say these things.
He may or may not. Everybody's
well,
a good candidate.
Because
for
you can say, well, here he has come. He's
yeah, that you can say. That, that you can say that you're waiting for the Krishna to find you. Well, here he is. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. So it's from two sides. That yes, Krishna may inspire, but yayatamam prapadyante. Krishna reciprocates. When you're seriously looking for a guru, Krishna says, you know, what do they say? The squeaky wheel gets the oil? Yes, they say that. The squeaky wheel. At least in America they do. The squeaky wheel gets the oil. Or Prabhupada gives the example that a child who's always dependent on the mother gets more attention from the mother. So someone who's seriously looking for God, as Dhruva Maharaj was, Krishna inspires someone from within. You help this guy out. Any questions? Okay. Yes?
Even if the person is actually looking for a Dhruva Maharaj, not really for Krishna or for God in the sense of wanting to have a loving relationship, but rather something for himself.
That we'll find in this chapter. This is a main theme throughout these chapters. The Dhruva Maharaj, what category is he in?
In the Artarti.
Artarti. He's desiring for wealth. His motive was not knowledge of God. His motive was not devotion to God. Wasn't even curious. Artarti, I want to get something. Well, how am I going to get it? Well, he can give it to you. Okay, where is he? God's qualification is that he can give you a kingdom. Okay, we're interested. Material desire. Therefore, he's categorized as a neophyte devotee. A neophyte devotee. But Sukritin, fortunate, or pious. Otherwise, another person in the same thing. Well, I'll kill my stepbrother, and I'll imprison my mother. You know, all the stuff you get in British history. I'll throw my brother in the tower, and I'll do all this kind of stuff. Right? So that's impious. But I'll buy my schemes. What is that? Idamajja mayo. What's that? Idam maya labdham imam prapsye mano gatam. Idam astidam api me bhavishya putti puhardhanam. I've got so much now by my schemes, and I'll get more. He's my enemy. I've killed him, and I'll kill my other enemies also. There's no one else powerful like me. I've got aristocratic relatives. I've got money. I've got power. I'll do some sacrifices. I'll give some charity. I'll enjoy. Itya gana vimohita. In this way, they're bewildered by Maya. But a fortunate person in distress, instead of trying to pull that sort of stuff, he goes looking for God.
Still curious how Dhruva Maharaj gets the mercy or the association of an exalted devotee like Narad Muni. Other people who now, say, at present time, were little interested in God, but they get the association, say, of a representative of something really lower, as Yayatama Prabhupada, the principle. But in here, in his case, it seems not to apply.
Well, look, first of all, he's the grandson of Swayambhuva Manu. He is the son of Uttanapada, who's also an exalted person. His mother is Suniti, and so he's coming from a good family. His background is pious, in his previous life also. And what have we got now?
Yeah, it's the disqualification. Yeah.
Everyone's disqualified in Kali Yuga. Kalo Shudra Sambhava, everybody's a Shudra.
So then this example is somehow an exception. This example of Dhruva Maharaj seems to be an exception in the sense that it's not a classical example of anybody looking for God with any motive.
It's a classical example of a neophyte Artarthi devotee.
Yeah, right.
The world has lots of neophytes. He wasn't a pure devotee. Where is God so I can serve him? Where is God so I can get something? That was his position.
But the exception seems to be that he gets the mercy of the elevated devotee, whereas other people don't get it.
Sometimes it happens. We have a god brother. I can tell because he tells the story. Haridas in Bombay. He joined. He was looking to steal someone's watch. So all these Western devotees with expensive stuff. So he's thinking he could steal from these people. And what happened? He got trapped. So it still happens. we see examples. Somebody they meet at night. They get a book from a nice girl on the street. They're more interested in the girl than the book. But the girl's more interested in the book than in him. So it works that way. Okay? So now Narad Muni touches the boy with his hand on the head, aghagnena, a hand that's all virtuous, that can dispel sinful reactions. Just to be touched by Narad Muni, very fortunate. So he comes and instructs Dhruva Maharaj. Aho teja kshatriyanam mana pangam amrisyatam balopya yam shida datte yat samatur asad vachaha. Just see how these kshatriyas are so touchy about their pride. Ho, teja kshatriyanam, mana bhangam. His prestige has been affected, and he's left the palace of his father, and he's gone on this big thing because he's been insulted. Just see this kshatriya spirit. Kshatriyas are extremely competitive. Ishra bhav, they want to be in charge. They don't want to be the number two man. They're not afraid of a fight. Their prestige is very important. And Narad Muni sees that in Dhruva Maharaj. And Prabhupada points out that these qualities, we say, guna karma vibhagasha, it's not by birth, but when the samskaras, the traditions of purified life, are followed in a family, then we generally expect to find that the tradition will carry through, that the son of a kshatriya will have the qualities of a kshatriya. The Pandavas were asking the astrologers, is this boy going to be like his forefathers? This Parikshit Maharaj, is he going to have the same qualities? Will he be generous? Will he be strong? Will he be courageous? Will he? And yes. What? Even the Parikshit Maharaj told Kali, in my family there's never been anything like this. The sense there of carrying out the upholding the traditions of the family. That was when the samskaras are followed, then we expect that the same tradition will be there, that the son of the intellectual will also be an intellectual, that the son of the kshatriya will also be a kshatriya. The son of a vaishya will take over the business. We expect that. But in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada points out, the samskaras aren't followed. Anybody's born of anybody, and everything's all over the place. If one fails to observe the reformatory measures in the family, then down. What is that in Bhagavad Gita? Not just Jayate Varna Samskara. But the Kula Dharma Sanatana.
Yeah.
The what is that? Krishna said, Arjuna says, if the elders in the family are killed, then the traditions of the family will be neglected. Kula Dharma Sanatana. Dharma Nashte. You find it. No, not that verse. No, not that. Adharma Bibhavat Krishna. No. That's not what I was thinking. Kula Dharma Sanatana Dharma Nashte. But must be the previous verse. Yeah. Kula Kshaya Pranashanti Kula Dharma Sanatana Dharma Nashte Kula Krishna Adharma Bibhavat Krishna. When the family is destroyed, the elders are killed, Kula Dharma Sanatana, the Kula Dharma family duties all go to hell, Dharma Nashte Kulam Kritsnam, and when a Dharma Bibhavatita, then everything's a Dharma. Everything's a Dharma. There'll be, no one will know what to do, what not to do, it all just degrades. So these principles of family tradition have to be followed. Very important. Very important. Any question? Okay. Now Narada is instructing him that you're just a little boy. Why should you be so upset about some insult to your prestige. You're just a kid. It's just, you know, you play game, meant for playing games and having a good time. What's it to you? And even if you think that your honor's been insulted, that's no reason to be dissatisfied. That's just Maya. Everyone's controlled by his previous actions, and that's why people get enjoyment or suffering. So if you're just a kid, be a kid. Don't worry about it. And if you're a little grown up so that it's a big deal with you, well, look at it philosophically. That's his point. That, all right, it's just your past karma that this has happened. Why should you be upset? You should be equipoised, as Krishna tells Arjuna, just in happiness or distress, honor or dishonor, should be the same. So he's instructing Dhruva, you should just be even-minded and not disturbed by these superficial insults. Then he says, Parichushyet tatastata tavan matrena purusha daivo pasaritam yavad vikshyeshvara gatim buddha vikshyeshvara gatim buddha. You should see everything as Krishna's arrangement. Don't be upset if you're intelligent. You should see that everything is arranged by Krishna. Whatever comes, whether it's good or it's bad, whether it's insult, honor, or dishonor, amana, pamana, yo, whichever it is, just be cool, be even-minded, don't be affected. That's samatvam yoga uchate. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this equanimity of mind is called yoga. So Narad Muni's come to Dhruva Maharaj, and he's instructing him in these principles of equanimity. Just be satisfied with whatever comes by the mercy of Krishna. Then he says, of course, he's giving these instructions, but he knows already that they're not going to be accepted. He's instructing Dhruva Maharaj in this yoga system, but he knows this is not going to fly with this Kshatriya kid. He's not going to buy these instructions. But Narad Muni is instructing him in this way. Anyway, why? To test him. To test him. And now he's making it stronger, that you've decided to undertake this meditation because your mother has told you to do it, and you're doing it to achieve the mercy of the Lord by performing austerities, but this is not possible for any ordinary person. You're undertaking something which is, this is not small stuff. You just, your stepmother told you something, your mother told, but this is, no ordinary person can do this. No ordinary person can do this. So you're shooting for the moon here. And then he takes it further. He says that there are so many mystic yogis who tried this. And they underwent these austerities for lifetimes. For lifetimes. Uru Janmabi. And they practiced being detached. They practiced self-purification. They practiced trance. They underwent austerities. And still they didn't make it. Still they didn't make it. Now what are you going to do? You're just a kid. How are you going to do this? So he's testing the disciple. Prabhupada comments, this is the process, that we should see whether the disciple is serious. Is he just following fashion? Everyone's got a guru, I have to have a guru. Or is it serious that he's actually ready to... It's not that I simply need to add another disciple to my list, just to increase the number. Or, just without discrimination, I accept disciples. Yes, this sincere person is coming to me. And I don't know if he's sincere or not. I haven't looked. I haven't examined. I don't know what he's doing. One should see. The prospective disciple should see what sort of guru this is. Not just that, oh, he spoke so nicely and And the guru should see what kind of disciple is this. Is he ready? Therefore, Prabhupada required no gambling, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no sex. That was the exam. That's for Prabhupada. That was then you're serious. If you're not prepared to follow these principles, you're not serious.
What are acceptable standards for an aspiring disciple to expect from a guru?
What are what should the disciple expect from the guru? Answers?
I'm sorry, in addition to that, also...
First of all, that the disciple should expect that the guru is going to follow the same principles he's expecting the disciple to follow. There was a cartoon, probably you may know about it, some years ago someone did this cartoon we were talking about the other day. Showed a scene, you see the Los Angeles temple facade, and there's smoke coming through the latticework, and a fire sacrifice is going on inside, and you see these balloons, and one balloon says, "So, what are the rules you agree to follow?" And another balloon says, "No gambling, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex." Then the next frame, you see inside the temple room, and the candidate's taking his beads, and he says, "Then I agree to accept you as my spiritual master." So the spiritual master is called Acharya, one who teaches by his own example. Shabde pure chanishnatam brahmani samupamashraya. He has to have heard from the authority, and he has to have strong faith in the personality of Godhead. What is that strong faith? It means that he follows. Shrotriyam brahmanishtam. Those are the qualifications. First of all, he has to be coming, Shrotri means he has to be coming in the bona fide line, Sampradaya. Sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishpala. If we don't go through the Sampradaya, we won't get the result. He has to be coming in the bona fide Sampradaya, has to have heard from his bona fide Acharya, and now he has to follow. That, yes, I have strong faith in this process. And I myself, otherwise what will he teach you? He should be expert in the science, and he should make his followers expert. Is that okay?
And a disciple with his material vision is able to gauge these things?
Can the disciple with his material vision gauge these things? As far as possible. Prabhupada said you should know. Therefore, the books are there. Why is Prabhupada writing them? It's not a closed book that when you're initiated, you can read it. Uh-oh. You can read it beforehand and find out what these qualifications are. Prabhupada said if you go to a cloth shop, for example, looking for diamonds, you're going to be misled. So you have to know what it is you're looking for. What is a diamond? Where is a diamond to be found? You should know something. And then finally, it depends on your good fortune. Because, as you said, you know, with his material vision, how is he going to know? As far as possible, he should know. But then ultimately it depends on his good fortune. Same thing in investments. As far as possible, you should know what is the stock, what is the market, what is this, what is that. Finally, it also depends on your good fortune. Anything. Daiva Sarva Tripanchama. Your endeavor, the right place, the right everything. And finally, daiva. It depends ultimately on the mercy of Krishna.
You mentioned about the disciple had a spiritual teacher testing the disciples and make sure that they are sincere or serious and not just freely initiating. Now, is there any indications of, say, that we can observe some reactions if a person does not consider things carefully and accept a lot of disciples?
Well, Prabhupada said that there may be. Then if he's not qualified and he accepts unqualified disciples, he may be dragged down in this way or that way.
Is that what we understand? He accepts karma? Is that the idea then?
It's like indigestion. You eat more than you can digest, you get sick.
On the other hand, if a person is very qualified, or both are qualified, the karma seems to get absorbed by Krishna, according to Srila Prabhupada's purpose.
Yeah, so everything. When you're transparent, then everything is taken care of by Krishna.
Yeah.
When you're not transparent means the buck stops here instead of there,
right. Yeah.
Then problems will resolve. If the spiritual master is thinking that these people are here for by Krishna's mercy for my sense enjoyment, there'll be problems. So the spiritual master may get dragged down, or Prabhupada, even in his own case, he said sometimes we have to suffer some ill health because of the sinful activities of the disciples. So from that point of view, the disciples should be very serious not to burden the spiritual master. And the spiritual master should be very careful to see that he's accepting people who are serious about following the process. Not fly-by-night, unserious people who aren't, from day one, aren't even going to follow the principles that they're agreeing to. Yeah? Okay. So he tells the boy that don't try for this now, you're just a kid. Go back home. And when you're grown up, when you're mature, and you're ready to undertake such a serious thing, then that's the time to do it. He's basically telling Dhruva Maharaj, go back home. And Prabhupada, telling the story one time, he said that Dhruva Maharaj told Narada Muni that you please instruct me how to find God, otherwise you go back home. So now he gives instructing that one should be satisfied with whatever comes by Krishna's arrangement. And a significant verse, he says, this is how you should act. When you meet someone more qualified than you, you should be happy. When you meet someone equal to you, that also, then you're happy to find a friend. And when someone's less qualified, then you're compassionate to him. The less qualified person are materialistic people, uncultured people. They meet someone superior, they're envious. They meet someone on the same level, then they're also, again, envious, competitive. And when someone's less qualified, they're disdainful. So one should try to be this way. Less qualified person, be compassionate, pick him up. Equally qualified, make friends with him. And more qualified, be happy. That also Rupa Goswami says? Upadeshamrita?
Text 5, yeah.
The more advanced, most advanced devotee you should serve. And the devotee who's on your level, also you should offer him obeisances. And even the neophyte devotee, within your mind at least, you should respect. Yes?
Yudhisthira Maharaj couldn't find anybody less qualified.
Yes. That's the great soul. He thinks that no one is less qualified than me. Uttamadhikari vision. Now Dhruva Maharaj says that yes, these are very good instructions and undoubtedly very good, but I'm covered by ignorance and this doesn't stick with me. It doesn't find a place in my heart. After all, I'm a Kshatriya and it's not my fault. My stepmother has insulted me, and so your instructions just don't stick. This is his answer. This is his answer. It just doesn't stick. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada, among other things, Prabhupada was educated before this distinction became a big deal. When you could say everyone should do as he's told, and that was fine to say, and women understood that you were including them. It's now become an article of more than protocol. It's become a rule, practically speaking, in universities, especially in America. Thou shalt not use gender-specific language. Unless you really mean it. Otherwise, if you're using gender-marked language, you better mean it. If you say he, it had better be he, not he or she. Otherwise, yeah, you should say he or she, or you should say she, or you should alternate. If your patient comes to you with anxiety syndromes, then the best way to deal with him is like this or that. On the other hand, if she comes to you with symptoms of inferiority, you should deal with her like that. But if he comes to you this way, you bung, 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 you got to play pronoun ping pong or something like that, lest you possibly let slip any hint of chauvinistic bias. Prabhupada was educated before all of this became written in stone, before Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with tablets that said, thou shalt not use marked pronouns. So generally we can take it in an instance like this that Prabhupada means one or he or she or one of those awful contrived pronouns with a slash in it or whatever. It's generic. Sometimes when he says he means he. But you can tell usually when it's like that.
Another point, it's interesting how
sometimes even when it says he and means he, Prabhupada says, or she, you know, sometimes Prabhupada makes that clear. There's some place where the talking about woman as being the object of illusion or the source of illusion, and he says, for woman, man is the woman. So it works both ways. Yes.
Another point here. It's interesting to see how Dhruva Maharaj, the exchange between the spiritual master and his disciple. The instruction is quite clear, Narayana's instruction. Mm. Still, Dhruva Maharaj dares to basically object or at least starts to negotiate or explain his own position.
He's not negotiating, really.
But he explains his position.
He just says, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Arjuna said the same thing. What is that? Pramati Balavajritam?
Yeah, the mind is...
What is the beginning? Chanchalahi Mana Krishna Pramati Balavajritam. Tasyaham Nigraham Manye. I don't see it. It's like trying to stop the wind following this yoga system.
So he's clarifying his position, huh? And he's not assuming that the spiritual master knows in advance everything about him, so no need for him to say anything else and just try to do it now. Although it's helpful in that situation that he explains himself, then he gets the next possible instruction.
He says, my fault,
yeah.
Or I take it on myself, I'm ignorant, or it's not my fault, it's just that I was born a Kshatriya, what can I do? I'm helpless under the circumstances. I can't follow.
I have my limits. Like that.
I have my, which is better than yes, yes, yes.
And not being able to do it.
No intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling. Yes, yes, yes. Better than making a show. Well, I can't do it. Then you're honest. It's very bad to take a vow that you're not going to follow. Much better to say, I can't do it. Okay, then you'll get whatever the concessional arrangement is for people who can't do it. But not, yes, yes, I'll do it, but I won't do it. That's shameless. What else? Yes? Yeah. Yeah.
And Prabhupada says this is the beginning of this illegal thing. And I remember in the previous unit we read about Yajna Nari and Dakshina, who are also brother and sister.
Hmm.
So is there any other way of understanding?
Yajna and Dakshina, remind me. Where is that?
Yajna and Dakshina.
Third canto?
Yes. No, this is
just
here.
Unit. I don't know what a unit is. What is a unit?
It's in the Daksha Yagya.
On the Daksha Yagya.
It's the first chapter, basically, here in the Daksha.
It's explained there. I don't remember the explanation, but isn't it explained there?
Yeah, well, the personality of Godhead.
Yeah, that's the first thing.
It's Krishna and Lakshmi Narayan.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the personality of Godhead, you can do these things. That's basically what it comes down to. And I'd have to look and see precisely what Prabhupada said about it. But basically, that was the story as far as I know. That, all right, on the transcendental platform, when you're the personality of Godhead. I mean, Krishna did all sorts of things that are not considered very standard according to ordinary morality. But it's understood differently. That has nothing to do with this material world. For the personality of Godhead, these bodily distinctions don't exist. If we try to erase these bodily distinctions, it's a different thing. For Krishna, everything is his energy. Doesn't matter. My wife, your wife. There's no such distinction. On the absolute platform. On the absolute platform, there's no distinction. But these people were not on the absolute platform. They were on the platform simply of lust. And so, for them, it's degradation. Prabhupada gives the example. The sun drinks urine, and the sun remains pure, and the place becomes purified. But it doesn't mean that we'll also drink urine and become purified, or purify the place. Lord Shiva drinks the ocean of poison, and he becomes glorious. We can't drink poison imitating Lord Shiva. So we have to respect the prerogatives of the ultra-controllers and not try to imitate them. S-U-N. This sun, it absorbs urine from wherever people pass it. But the sun can't say to them, hey, you're drinking urine. You're contaminated. No, the sun remains pure and the place becomes antiseptic.
On this point, how do you understand when Krishna's saying, I don't remember exactly what he said, but something along the lines of that even he has to do his
yeah, Krishna,
right,
sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. He says, even I perform prescribed duties. And it's true, he does. But sometimes he makes an exception and does what he wants. Just like parents. Even I follow such and such thing. Even I take rest at a scheduled time. Even I do this. But parents, sometimes they don't. And you can't say, well, then I won't either. They have their prerogative. They're parents. They can do it. Generally, they set the example. They follow. But sometimes they have some other purpose. Sometimes there's something. They do what they want or what they think they should do. Because they're grown-ups. And then the kid always wants to say, well, you did it. Yeah, but that's me, not you. And the parent says something, well, I may do it, but you have to do what I say. And that's the way it is. We have 2 minutes only. Everyone's happy? Getting what you're expecting to get it? Yeah, you don't want a refund? You stick it out for another couple of classes before you complain to the management. Any other question? Okay, you're out a minute early. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.